It's a privilege and what a joy for me to be here again and greet each and every one of you. See some that we've met before, and then so many others that are new to me and myself to you. But I'm glad that the Lord has brought us over, and I want to thank Brother Kincaid for the opportunity. Brother Castillo, yeah, he's got an Anglo tongue. I got a Mexican tongue. So, as much as I try, there's just no way. And so you're just going to have to bear with me and try hard to understand what I'm trying to say. And then it's harder for me to formulate what really I do want to get across. But at any rate, what a joy to be here. I thank God for the ministry of the church here. And that's big heart for missions, for what it's done through the years. I remember its beginning in this little corner here and how the Lord has blessed and He has brought you a long, long ways. But more important, God has helped you to go a long, long way to the regions beyond. And that's the important thing. I believe that that's what the church is set up for, to go to the regions all around the world, starting in our Jerusalem, whichever it is, wherever it is, and take the gospel. And I know that you all have done great efforts and sacrifices. And I know something of the effort the program that you have to put men and families out in the field and the great work that they are doing. And I thank God for this church and the man that God has put here, my good friend, Brother Kincaid. I've known him for many years now. He and his dear wife and his children love him, love the way they love the Lord, love to work for Him. Thank God for this church. And Brother Kincaid and his family is Brother Kincaid and his family. But this is the church. And God has commissioned the church. And thank God for the disposition and the obedience on the part of this congregation to obey the commandment of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God give you more strength, more vision, more burden. May you go further. And may God's blessings rest upon this work as never before. I am Brother Carrizales. And I was born, reared here in San Antonio, of course. And Lord brought us to the corner of Surrey and Buffalo on the south side of San Antonio 30 years ago. We've been there, being faithful to give the testimony to our neighborhood and reach out as much as we can, not only here to our San Antonio, but also we thank God for the port our church has had in missions. I thank God for the privilege of having Brother Kincaid with us. Most of our missionary conferences in February, that's when we have our annual meeting, and our people always look forward to having him, and he always brings a true challenge, and we thank God for that. We started our mission program 18 years back, and God has helped us along to where the Lord has given us a little part in 49 different works around the world. Amen. And we thank God for our people, even though of limited resources, but a great burden in their hearts and a vision for the lost around the world. So you pray for our mission work. We are planning to have a booster mission conference, a semi-annual, to boost our people and renew their vows and renew their vision and the burden. And sometime in September, we will be having our semi-annual missionary conference for the first time. And I see that eventually it's necessary. Some people, unfortunately, fall along the way. Others just seem to walk away without any fear or responsibility of their vows unto God. So we are just concerned and feel that that's what we need. So be much in prayer for that effort that we will be having in September, Lord willing. In November, we will be organizing one of our missions here close by in Eagle Pass. One of our men left our church 3 years ago doing a tremendous work. And we'll be organizing that church now, doing great, have their own property, have a beautiful building now, doing tremendous work. Just baptized 10 more people just a few days ago, and it's doing great. The first week of June, right after our 29th anniversary, one more of our families left for Veracruz, Jalapa, and they're doing marvelously. Brother Almanza and his family and his young children are just doing a tremendous work. He had to settle on the outskirts, but now he called in rejoicing that finally he had an entrance and was able to secure a building in Jalapa, the capital of Veracruz. And I believe there are over 1 million people there. So it's a tremendous mission field there. And I pray that you might pray for him. We have another one of our missionary families that left 9 years ago. This will be their first furlough they'll be having, waiting for them the last week of July, and they'll be home for a year. Brother Fernando Moya will be helping me for 6 months, and the rest of the other 6 months, he will be doing some deputation, trying to gather some funds for the mission work and church planning and finishing off one of the buildings that they are building near Cuernavaca in Cuautla. So pray for this missionary family. And of course, we have other three more missionary families that have come out from our church. You pray that we might be faithful to the Lord in holding the ropes, that our church might continue to have a clearer vision and might have a bigger heart for these men that are willing like this, that have just given it all up to the Lord and say, Lord, wherever you lead me, I'll go. And God does have a place of service for anybody that's willing. He's not looking for ability, they say. He's just looking for someone that has availability and is ready and willing to go. And there are just places galore to where people will need to hear the gospel. So thank God for those that have gone out from our church and those that have gone out from this church. I know of many families, and may God bless you. I know that you are here, and God bless you in your endeavor. It's not easy, and it's not going to get any easier. They say in Mexico, they now, with the changes in the Constitution, man, there's a baloney. It just, you forget it. The world has never been a friend of the gospel. And so don't let's not lower our guard, and let's just press on. And God help us to be willing to pay the price. There is a reward awaiting for the faithful. So let's run the course completely until we cross the line, and God will bless what you are doing even now. As a form of testimony, we have even a man that is in prison. Unfortunately, because of a frame up, because of his wife, out of his good nature and his heart, he let in a man live in a little trailer house in his property, and then it created an affair. And then, unfortunately, he was sent to prison. But while he was here in Bexar County Jail, Lord just gave him peace and said, "I have you here to take you through school." And he has won so many souls. We've had letters coming to our office, and we have had people visit our churches out of the work he's done within. He was moved to Dayton, Texas, and unfortunately, He came up for revision, but they said, no, you have to stay at least 2 years until April 95. But he said, that's all right. God knows the truth, the whole truth, and I am willing to pay the price if this is how he wants to force me and mold me to for a new ministry. And we're just so expectant and so eager for him to be our liaison for the prison ministry. In this last 4 months that he's been there, he's won 110 souls. They go soul winning every Saturday at 4 o'clock. Where? They're in prison. There are about 1,000 of them there. They all meet the Lord. And they have a 2 to 3 hour Bible study every single night from 7 to 10 with 30 men. And there are about 10 men that have surrendered to the preaching of the gospel. And we are waiting for one of them the last week of July to come to San Antonio after he's through with the halfway time that he has to do. We're looking forward to that. So God's been good. And his ways are beyond finding out. But at any rate, he is in control.
Amen.
Pray for our work there in San Antonio. If ever there is a mission field, it's here in San Antonio. Over 60% Spanish speaking, and we're right in the middle of them all. And we have counted the houses, the persons, and there is an approximately 10,000 people in the area that encircles us by Nogalitos, IH-35, West Theo, and South Cross. That's how many people are there. Talk about a mission field. 10,000 right in our backyard. And we're praying. Oh, I've preached my heart out Sunday night how we need men with a burden.
Amen.
And tonight I'd like to speak just a few words concerning that. But again, let me just say how happy I am to be here in the midst of people that love the Lord and love the Word and love missions. And thank you for the support that you have had as a church, even in my life, in my ministry there in Beautiful Gate Baptist. I just want to give you this report so you'll rejoice with me and continue to pray with us. It was 1963 when I first came across the mission program. A friend invited me to Tulsa, Oklahoma. That was the very first time. That's when I got to know Russ Feit. He's been also a dear friend to me for these many years. And then it was in 1967 that I actually went to the mission field by invitation of Brother Kincaid, precisely, all the way to Guatemala. And ever then, the Lord has burdened us with concern for missions. In 1970, five of our men with their families, well, three of them with families, two of them with families, three of them single, went to Tennessee Temple Schools. And the wheels of advance for the gospel continued to roll. And even though five did start it out, two have been out in the battlefront, Brother Roy Trejo over there in Laredo, and of course my brother Roy in Houston. God's blessed him. He stayed with the stuff for 18 years. 7 years was really a time of trial, unspeakable. But he stood with the stuff. God blessed him. Things started to break through. Right now he's having over 500 in Sunday school every Sunday. And this year he raised $138,000 for missions. And 1970. And thank God that he's been good and he's been faithful. And we thank God for what God has done through the ministry there at Beautiful Gate. Pray much for our Christian school. We're so much in need of a principal, dire need of a principal. praying. I believe that too. It's included in the Great Commission of teaching them all things. And if we do not get them while they're young, it's going to be harder when they're older. So do pray for our Christian education ministry and therefore a bus ministry. We're trying to resurrect it. Our buses just went down and they would not be resurrected. We just got a new bus. We're trying to launch again our bus ministry, and we are going to concentrate in those 10,000 people around us. As I say, do pray for us that we might be affected for the Lord in these last days. We know the time is short. Amen. And the opportunity is great, and the workers are few too. So do pray that the Lord might just continue to bless us. Let's go to Habakkuk. I'm trying to beat around the bush, because when it comes to preaching the gospel in English, it's something else. So we'll take a few moments and share with you just a few things, if we would. The book of Habakkuk, please. And really, it's so good to see some of you colleagues and some of you servants of God. It's so good. God bless you. In Habakkuk chapter 3, here is a heartfelt prayer from Habakkuk's inner soul, saying in verse 2, chapter 3, verse 2, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. Oh, I wish you could understand Spanish, and some of you do. It's clear, and it just goes to the very bottom of your heart. Oh, Jehová, he oído tu palabra y temí. Oh, Jehová, aviva tu obra en medio de los tiempos. En medio de los tiempos, hazla conocer. I'd like to share with you for a few moments. In the life of Habakkuk, we see a man with a burden. In the English, in the first verse of chapter 1, it says the burden which Habakkuk, the prophet, did see. The burden which this prophet did see. And if ever there is a need, is for us church people to see verse 1 in chapter 1, it says, La profecía de Habacuc, the prophecy of Habakkuk. If we go to chapter 2 and verse 2, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. So, we have three words here that are in a sense synonymous. And first we read the word burden. Then we see the word vision. And then in the Spanish it has the word prophecy. Of course you all know that in Proverbs 29:18, without vision the people perish. But in Spanish it uses the word prophecy. Y sin profecía, el pueblo se desenfrena. And there's no hope. It destroys itself without prophecy. Now prophecy, of course, comes from a vision. The Lord many a times gave his word or the word of prophecy through vision. So it's interchangeable, and there is no harm done when we interchange this. Now, we could then try and make this conclusion. This is the prophecy that was given to Habakkuk through a vision, which the Lord says, write it down. And because of it, Habakkuk ends up with a burden. Here we have a man crying out from the bottom of his soul, Oh God, is there any way that you can bring to life again these thy people.
Amen.
Why? Those people had a sentence over their head. Now, to begin with there in the first chapter, Habakkuk, different from most of the prophets, say, Lord, I've prayed and I've cried out to you, but you do not do anything about it. Look at these people. Look at all the violence, all the iniquity that abound. Until when will you stand up in indignity and apply the discipline to these people? And then God answered, you let me do it in my time and in my way.
Amen.
But since you asked, I'm going to tell you. I got a people prepared, and actually they're on their way. They'll fly in like eagles, devouring everything. They'll consume, they'll destroy, and what's more, they'll give credit to their God. Their name is the Chaldeans, and they will be my rod of punishment to my people. And all of a sudden, this man that was just tired of preaching to these people to repent, to get their hearts back to God, because it was the only salvation for the nation. But these people just went deeper into sin and iniquity, to where Habakkuk simply despaired and was tired and said, Lord, I've done my part. Now you come in, you do something with them, and it's about time that you do it, and whatever you're going to do, you should do now. But when God revealed that he was going to use the Chaldean people to punish Israel, here we have this man again crying out to God, oh no, God! It says in verse 12, art thou not from everlasting to everlasting, O God, mine Holy One? Surely we shall not die because of you, O Lord. I know thou hast ordained them for judgment. O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. But O God, how is it that you are going to use people that are more steep in iniquity, people that are more perverse, people that do not know thy name, people that have other gods, people that blaspheme thee. How can you use a people that are more sinners than us to punish us? I can't understand that. Lord, don't you do such a thing. But God said, you ask me. And they're on the way. And there's nothing that'll stop them. Because it's not only Habakkuk. There were prophets after prophets after prophets admonishing the people. Even naming him that God was used as a punishing rod. He even called Nebuchadnezzar my son. I'll have him to do my work. And one after the other. But generation upon generation, they all scoff at the word of God. They even endanger the lives of the prophets themselves. Jesus said they killed many of them. What did they do to Jeremiah? And what did they do to Isaiah at the last? The Bible says how they were tortured, how they were sawed between. They were, those men paid the price. And here we have Habakkuk. Right at about the time when God's judgment was going to come to pass. And Habakkuk, as all prophets, had a burden. But different than the others, he said, God, I guess they deserve it. Just go ahead, let them have it. But here we have, the Lord said, okay, there they come. Do you see them? Oh, no, God. No, no, you can't do that. And he started to pray for the people again. That's why we say Habakkuk was a man with a burden. Thank God for all the lessons we've learned through Scripture concerning men with burden. We see a lamenting situation in the times of Ezekiel when he said that God sought for a man that could be puesto en la brecha, whatever, stand in the gap. But there was no one willing to stand in the gap. There was no one with a burden that la tierra no fuera destruida, that the land would not be destroyed. God sought for a man when this world simply gave its back to God, and there was no thought whatsoever of God. And God repented in his heart and said, I'll give men 120 years. But that's all. And he sought for a man, and he found him. His name was Noah.
Amen.
And he patiently and faithfully worked, not only building the ark, but preaching.
Amen.
Maybe he started out by giving a morning message, and then ending up the day by preaching at night. They all curiously came around the ark. Maybe they mocked and scoffed him. But just the same, he said, there's judgment coming. Prepare thyself. Repent. God does not want the death of the sinner. Repent.
Amen.
Repent. And he was called the preacher of justice, of righteousness, because he was a man with a burden. The Bible says that when the 120 days were up, everything was ready, and he was about to shut the door, which he eventually did, but he extended 7 more days of mercy. I would not know about that. Noah said, Lord, let me preach at least 7 more days. Give me 1 more week. Give him 1 more week, God. And God said, okay, I'll wait 1 more week. And he preached his heart out for 7 more days, but there was not a one, and the door was shut. Thank God for men with burden. The people of Israel came to a point when God said, enough is enough. Moses, get out of the way. I'll erase him from the face of the earth in a moment of time. And Moses said, no. And if you're going to do it, you have to start with me. I'm not moving. And he said, I said for you to move. He said, no, I'm not moving. Move! Said, I'm not moving. And that's it. I'm sorry. I'm going to disobey you. But Lord, if you destroy these people, what would all the nations around will say about your name? That you couldn't do it. Lord, for thy name and for thy people. And God withdrew his anger.
Amen.
Oh, what a blessed example of a man with a burden. We go to Paul, and he said, I am willing to be anathema if that would get my relatives and my people saved. We have many people coming to church, in and out, by the numbers. And yet, we come without a burden. We still leave without a burden. And that's in spite of hearing God's word.
Right.
Oh, that we would see this scripture in Habakkuk 3:2. Oh God, I have heard thy word, and I'm trembling. I'm afraid. I fear. Oh, that we could listen to the word of God, believe the word of God, and go into action according to God's will. Certainly, these men there are in the field have responded in the fashion of Habakkuk. Oh God, I believe you. I believe you. What do you want of me? Thank God. They're out there. There are still people in the church that can still hear and fear and tremble and are willing to obey. May God give us more. And especially as you celebrate this missionary conference, the purpose of it is to bring us up to date with our missionaries, how they're doing in the field, what are their needs, Remind us to uphold them in prayer. Remind us of our obligation, sacred obligation, to continue to support them and to do even greater sacrifices, because the need is great and because the Lord has ordained it and because it is out of obedience that we should do it. But there needs to be those also that come to the understanding that the Lord still saying the fields or the harvest is much, but the workers are few. Who will go with me? Is there anyone amongst us that have a burden? Is there anyone that has heard the prophecies? Is there anyone that sees the vision of the teeming millions? Oh, sometimes when they tell us of the suffering of some little ones here around us, as we come across in our visitation and come across some situations of some little ones that are mistreated, hungry, forsaken, and yet in comparison they're practically in heaven, because one way or another there's some kind of help, or some help can eventually be found for them. But what about those hurting souls around the world? Not only hurting physically and materially, but a deeper, more serious hurt. And they cry out, like in the book of Lamentation, is there anyone that careth for me, for my soul? But in order to answer, we need to have a vision. In order to have a vision, we need to hear the word of God.
Amen.
And in order to know that we have understood, there needs to be a response. And a response is a move to action. And I pray to God that God moves among us to the extent that we might pray and say, oh God, forgive my coldness.
Amen.
Forgive my short-sightedness.
Amen.
Forgive my selfishness.
Amen.
And Lord, give me a new vision. Give me a new burden. Give me a new desire. Lord, bring me back to thy first love. And the Lord requires it. Hey, when God speaks, He doesn't speak just because He likes to speak. God expects a response.
Amen.
He told the people through Jeremiah, now you stop right there in the crossroads and ask for the old paths, that you might return to them. But they said, no, we don't want to. Well, that's all right. What I'm trying to say, that's unfortunate, but what I'm trying to say is God expected a response right there. He said, here is way of life and the way of death and destruction. Choose ye.
Amen.
Choose now the way of life. Why dieth you? Here is the way of life. And that decision must be done now. He said, who will go for us? He wants an answer now. And there was Isaiah's answer. Here I am, Lord.
Amen.
Send me. He wants an answer tonight. Now, you might be praying about it. That's fine and dandy. That's good. But I've known, after being in the ministry 40 years, that there are some people sitting in the church that have been praying 10 years to know the will of God, and to know exactly what the Lord wants them to do. When the Lord calleth, we must answer. Eli might not have known how to lead his children, but he did give a good counsel to little Samuel. He said, son, next time when you hear that voice, Samuel, you be quick to answer and say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Oh, how the Lord's looking for people with a burden.
Amen.
Now, some are afraid of the burden. It's normal. And it's after the fashion of our human nature to be free of worry. Not to have any responsibilities. Not to be pressured. Oh, how elevated, aliviado,
relieved,
yes. How relieved we feel when we're out of this, when we're free from compromises, from obligations, from responsibilities. It's human nature. We want to be free. We don't want burdens. That's human nature. But we are not to live according to the fashion of the flesh. Because whoever lives or sows for the flesh reaps corruption. Our course is a spiritual one. And our blessed Lord that saved us said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Aprender de mí que soy manso y humilde de corazón. And you shall find rest for your soul. Because my yoke is not heavy. Yes, it's hard. Yes, we come through different experiences in the mission field, even in the pastorate here. Yeah. We're surprised many times. There are burdens that sometimes we feel like we're squashed under the weight. But then the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. In our human sight, we reflect, we react. But the battle is the Lord's. He in His due time will lift all burdens. And we are the more better for being privileged to have carried the load because the Lord was looking for someone. And if it was me, what a blessing. My yoke is easy. You know, when it's hard, when we fight it, when we don't want, when we put many pretexts and many reasonings before us, and we start to deduct that it might just not work out, and what if this, and what if that, and when we're fighting off that yoke, then it does become not only hard, it becomes treacherous. We find ourselves fighting against our Creator. The Lord wants us to know that He has a particular work for each and every one. In Lamentation it says, it is good, even for a young man, from his early age, to be with a yoke. Oh, the freelance Christians, how they are bound. And those that just like to take it easy all the way to heaven. Just like some of the happy quartet songs. Boy, build me a mansion next to Jesus. They don't even go visit the people next door.
And
talking about being sure they're going to make it. We want the crown, but not the cross. The things of God, as preached together with Him, are carried on our shoulders. Just like the priest of old, when they carried the Ark of the Covenant over their shoulders. And then, when they gave instructions to prepare the vestments for the high priest, the Lord gave instructions as how the high priest was supposed symbolically to take the whole people over their shoulders, and then in an effort, in the form of a stone for every tribe over their heart. God is looking for people that are willing to carry that sacred obligation, to carry the need of the people over the shoulders and over the heart. Bible says, if you're not willing to take up thy cross, and not the cross of Christ, according to the Catholic people, if you get together all the pieces that are supposed to be from the cross on which Christ was crucified, you'd end up with thousands of crosses. And of course they bank on the cross of Jesus. But hey, there was only one cross for one person. But the Lord said, he that is not willing to take his cross, the reproach of Christ, a willingness to go the way of Golgotha, if need to, all the way to the top of Calvary, if need to, for his sake's name, for his name's sake, and for the love of those he died for. If we're not willing to deny ourselves and carry the cross, he cannot be my disciple. We might call ourselves Christians, but everybody calls themselves Christians. They pride themselves on Christians. Jails are full of Christians. The dance halls are full of Christians. You tell somebody at the beer joint, at the bar, are you a Christian? He might just roll up his sleeve and say, what do you think I am, an animal? Sure, I'm a Christian. Anybody can call themselves a Christian. But are you a disciple? Are you following him? Are you willing to pay the price? Oh, that God would have men in our churches that are ready and willing at the drop of the head to pray and to carry the burden and to cry before the Lord, even to pray and to fast for the need of the kingdom, of the progress of the kingdom of God. Amen. Oh, that God would give us men with a vision. Oh, that God would give us men with goals in sight. Oh, that God would give us men that would have burden for their very own, their household in particular, and then all their relatives, their friends. But oh, how sad that among Christendom, we have church-going people, church members, but not many disciples. Making disciples. Not many people that meet in churches week after week have the burden for the lost. The Lord is saying, who will go? Is there anyone? Is there anyone that will stand in the gap? It's hard to come across them, whether they be men or women, whether they be young people or children. Still, God is looking. It's interesting that when the Lord says that he is looking for a man, it indicates that he is looking for those that will follow him and serve him on an individual basis. We here in this church might say, maybe the Lord will call someone to his vineyard this missionary conference. How about you, my friend? See? How about you? The Lord's not necessarily asking him who you think, but he's actually asking him in an individual way, but he also is asking you in an individual way, and every single one of us, would you? He'll ask one first and then the other and then the other, and he'll ask each and every one because he expects our response from each and every one. He is looking for people that will not escatimar, I don't know the word that, but do not care about time, resources, or sacrifices if it's for his name's sake. Oh, he's looking for men and women, young and old, that will dedicate themselves wholly for the progress of the kingdom of God as it advances in the winning of souls at home and abroad in this last time and this time of this closing time of history. Thank God for missionary conference. So many churches, the majority of the churches are not concerned for missions. Do not have missionary conference. And they might ridicule us. Missionaries. But the Lord said, go into all the world. Amen. Beginning with ours, certainly. And beginning at home. but certainly not forgetting those that are beyond. God needs people individually, churches collectively that'll have a burden. And the only hope is to continue to preach the word.
Amen.
To continue to hear his word. And oh, that God would eventually call my children, your children, your dad, your mom. There's no exception. God's no respecter of person. You might go to some missionary board and they'll say, well, if you're over 35, forget it. You can't apply. We couldn't send you to the mission field if you're over 35. And even if you're 28 with a college degree, but you have more than 3 children, forget it too. You can go to the mission field. And there are just all kinds of things that put a stop to advance of missions. But thank God for churches that are doing the work the Bible way.
Amen.
And may God bless you as you endeavor to do this blessed work of reaching out. One day, because he's faithful and he cannot lie, he'll keep his word and said, for anybody that would leave family, houses, possessions, or whatever, he will have 100-fold. Yes, it's a joy. It's not always easy, but there's that peace that passes all understanding. The important thing is, do you know the will of God for your life? Do you know it? Are you willing to know it? And if you do, are you willing to go through for God has and wants for you, regardless, no matter what the price? Because there's no greater joy than to serve the living God. Habakkuk, a man with a vision. And a person and a Christian with a vision sees further, feels more profoundly, does whatever he needs to take. We need men and women with a burden. If we don't have a burden, we ought to worry that we don't worry. We ought to be concerned that we're not concerned.
Yeah.
And we ought to cry that we don't cry.
That's right. For
the sorry situation that engulfs this world, our churches, and our own lives. God have mercy. God shake our conscience and our hearts, and that we might tonight say like Habakkuk, I've heard thy word, and I'm afraid.
Amen.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for thy word, thy blessed word. Now work in our midst, in our hearts tonight. Speak, do thy will for thy glory. Continue to pray, please. Brother.
Stand and sing number 94.